The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the number three. Three choices for the third pick, and the decision will reshape the entire NFL draft. Plus, was there a signal given that what we are all expecting at number two might not be the ticket? This could change everything. And Bill's boss seems to have some issues with the way things are going in New England. So what happens now? That's the question. We've got the answer as we get up with you, starting right now on a Friday. Delighted you are here, Greeny, and we will be busy. The football crew is ready to go because we may have a shakeup right by the top of the draft, and here's who we have ready to go this morning. Graziano's got the insight. Jeff Saturday is handing out pancakes. Bart Scott can't wait. We'll get to them in just a moment, but first, opening day and some quick hitters from yesterday's first day in the majors, and it begins with the Yankees, who lose a heartbreaker in extras to the Blue Jays. 3-2 the final score. Randall Grichuk, a go-ahead RBI double in the 10th, giving the Jays the victory in extras. Elsewhere, the defending champion Dodgers stumbling out of the gate. Check out this Cody Bellinger home run that wasn't. He passes Justin Turner, rounding the bases. It's ruled an RBI single. It changes the whole game. Complete highlights coming up. And LA's other team, Mike Trout, coming through for the Angels with a clutch hit in the eighth. That tied it. Angels added one more. They beat the White Sox by a score of 4-3. All the highlights and Jess Mendoza are on the way. But right now, to the NFL, where most people believe the draft starts at 3. And the Niners have some options. They could take Alabama's Mac Jones, who led the entire country last year in QBR and yards and completion percentage. Or they could go down the route of Trey Lance, who, despite only having played a single game last year, threw 28 touchdowns and no picks the year before. And how about Justin Fields from Ohio State? He entered this season with hype on par with Trevor Lawrence, threw 63 touchdowns in two seasons at Ohio State, added 15 more on the ground. In his latest mock draft, McShay has five quarterbacks going in the first, all within the first 11 picks. You see, he's looking at Mac Jones at number three. But take a listen to what Niners legend Steve Young had to say yesterday about who he hears San Francisco really wants.
There's no question in my mind that if they can figure out how to get Zach, that's their number one first choice. I just don't know how they get it done. The Jets have committed to Zach and recruited the family. I mean, I don't know how that gets undone, but, you know, look, a lot can happen. I think Zach would love it. The family would love it. You know, nothing would make anyone happier. I think the 49ers, that's their unstated first choice. So that would be wonderful.
Well, one man's wonderful is another man's something else entirely. But let's dive into that if we can here. Graziano Saturday and Bart Scott are ready to roll. Dan, I will start with you as my insider extraordinaire. You hear Steve Young saying the quarterback San Francisco really wants is Zach Wilson. So it gets complicated. Where do we go from here?
Well, I mean, look, let's be honest here. The quarterback that they really want and that everyone wants is Trevor Lawrence, but they're not going to get him. They weren't able to trade up to one, and they weren't able to trade up to two either, and that's likely because, as we understand it, the Jets are locked in on Zach Wilson and don't want to move off of that. So, you know, they can want whatever they want, but that doesn't mean they're going to be able to get it. The Niners move up to three. And to hear Kyle Shanahan talk last week, it's because they had come up with a list of three quarterbacks that they feel really good about. Presumably, two of those are Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. The question, of course, is who is the third? Because that's the most likely guy to land in San Francisco.
And I see, and we have it up on the screen, you told us last night that while the conventional wisdom seems to be leaning towards Mac Jones, you have your eye on Trey Lance.
Yeah, there's all you hear is Mac Jones to the 49ers. I mean, that's all over the league. And it could happen, right? I mean, he could be their guy. But conversations I've had the last couple days have led me to think that I can't rule out Trey Lance as a possibility. Look, Jimmy Garoppolo is really going to still be on the team this year, which they've said. Lance is the one guy in this group that everybody kind of agrees needs a year, right? Because he hasn't really played much in college, only one game this past year. And we've talked about how few throws there are to evaluate of Trey Lance. So he has the athleticism, he has the size, he has the arm strength. You know, he kind of gives Kyle Shanahan the opportunity to sort of evolve his offense beyond where it's been. And I just don't think we can rule that out, the idea that Kyle has in mind a guy that can take him places that others previously have not been.
So there's a lot to unpack here. And Bart Scott, let's start with the first piece of this, and that is the idea that Zach Wilson and the 49ers love each other. Where does that leave the Jets, a team that you played for and you were still very close to, sitting at number two? Does that change anything in your mind?
No, for me, it leaves the Jets exactly where they want to be. They control the draft. If they want to move out and get a king's ransom like San Francisco did gave up to move up, then they can control the draft there. But if they believe that Sam Darnold is the key and they believe that Sam Darnold is a young quarterback that they want to kind of kick the can down the road with, give him an opportunity to have a year to evaluate and say that he can play, then you move out of the pick. But if they believe that Zach Wilson's the guy, then they're going to pick him. And maybe that's why San Francisco decided to go to three, because the Jets weren't taking any calls for it. So we don't know, you know, what's going to go on. You know, when you get closer to the draft, you're going to see a lot more movement coming up. And I'm excited to see what happens.
You think the Jets could be in the middle of that? Again, you're close to them. You talk to people there. Do you still believe? We've been talking on this show week, Bart.
Absolutely.
Like, it is a foregone conclusion the Jets are taking Zach Wilson. Is that premature?
I don't believe so. I believe right now it's about Robert Saleh. We always talk about Sam Darnold, what would be a best fit for him to go and sit for a year, and we continue to say that it's the San Francisco 49ers. So if Mike LaFleur is going to bring the same system, then why not go ahead and keep the guy, see what he can do within your system? You can kick the can down the road. You can continue to acquire more draft equity so that you can make moves down the line. You don't have to pick up his option. You can continue to see and build around Sam Darnold, because the Russell Wilson is still out there and the Deshaun Watson maybe a pipe dream, but it's still a possibility.
Dan Graziano, I see you want to jump in. Go ahead real quick before I get Jeff in.
Yeah, I mean, that may all be true, but the fact of the matter is the Niners were offering 3 first-round picks and a 3rd-round pick, and the Jets weren't interested in having the conversation. So that, I can't believe they're going to turn that down and then sit at 2 and take somebody who's not a quarterback.
Right, that's the point. So they would either trade out of the spot to someone else, or they will take Zach Wilson.
Right.
Hang on, let me get Jeff in for this. Yeah, we'll see. The possibility they could still trade to someone like Carolina or whatever the case may be theoretically remains out there. Unlikely, I grant you, unlikely though it feels. Go ahead, Jeff Saturday, jump in here. The idea that San Francisco is sitting at 3, that's such an attractive spot for any of these young quarterbacks. The biggest winner in all this might be whoever it is that winds up 3rd, yes?
That's 100% the truth. I mean, like, put Trevor Lawrence in this conversation. The guy who goes 3 is going to be in the best position to win and be developed as a quarterback. When you think about Mike Shanahan and what he does in this system, this guy creates quarterbacks. I liken him to Andy Reid, right? Every time you go in here, he makes the best of his quarterbacks. You saw him take Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl. You saw him develop this football team. This team is ready to win right now. So whoever is in that 3 spot has to be excited about where they are. I love that Zach Wilson's family is like, man, we'd love to be in San Francisco. Every one of those quarterbacks' families would be really happy to go to San Francisco, because again, they're built to win now. They don't have the development issues that Jacksonville and the Jets both have. You got to like your spot at 3.
All right, I want to bring into the conversation something that Booger McFarland put up on Twitter yesterday, because it plays into all of this. The options that we are laying out now for San Francisco at 3, assuming they don't have a way to get Zach Wilson, is between Mac Jones and Trey Lance. Left out in all of that is Justin Fields. And the catch word there seems to be processing. And Booger pointed that out yesterday when he tweeted, every year during draft season, there are new words that become hot. A couple years ago, it was twitchy. 2021, it appears to be processing, however true it may be. That coming from some criticism that seems to have, on some level, sort of come from thin air, that Justin Fields doesn't do that well at Ohio State. And Jeff Saturday, when you hear that, what's the first thought that goes through your mind?
Absolute trash. Man, this is ridiculous. This kid's scored almost 80 touchdowns and had, what, 9 interceptions in 2 years at Ohio State, where he's playing great competition. And we're going to talk about processing. And by the way, every offensive system in college is developed to take the first read. I lived on a football field for 14 years in the NFL. Tom Moore used to scream at Peyton Manning, if the first read is there, you take it right now. Now we're going to criticize a kid who's taking his first read and doing exactly as he's coached. Think about how many times you look in college football and the quarterback looks to the sideline and gets his take and then takes what's there. That's what he's supposed to do. If Peyton Manning would have had that same criticism in year one of his career in the NFL, everybody would have said he was a bust, right? 20-plus interceptions. He's one of the smartest football players in NFL history. It takes time to learn how to process the game at the NFL level. Justin Fields is fully capable of doing that just like every other quarterback. I think this is absolute garbage, and it's just a way to put a guy and kind of sabotage his draft status. I don't get on board with it at all.
Bart Scott, what do you think?
Well, tell the Patriots to quit sending out those messages so he falls to them so they can get a steal in the draft. I mean, that's usually what happens right now. It's a time of disinformation, right? So disinformation, you want to tear a prospect down in hopes that he can fall to you. You know, you think about what he's done. You think about the competition that he's going against. You think about what he was able to do against Clemson. When you're supposed to take what's open and what's available. Now, what they're trying to talk about is post-snap. Can he read the rotation of the safeties? Can he identify what the defensive coverage is when he goes off one progression? Can he go to his second read, his third read? Well, if my first read is open, then what the hell am I going to my third read for? The first read is the one that the player designed to get open. So it's like, okay, well, if he's going to, so he's going to go 1, 2, 3, and then show you that he can go ahead and make plays with his legs, make off-schedule plays, you take the layup. That's what the player is designed to do.
That's right.
I think it's trash, and I think it's crazy that we criticize him, but we don't criticize other quarterbacks. Those are buzzwords. Those are words that are associated with African-American, you know, quarterbacks in this league, and that used to be a word that was a symbol for something, just like heady player. If I say heady player, Saturday knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that would be Mac Jones.
It's a race of player that I'm talking about.
Right. The words of the game have traditionally been done. That would have been Mac Jones. Let's hope that we've moved past that place in NFL history. I got to leave it there for the moment. We got a ton more to do. We're just getting started here, and it's going to be, as you can see, it's going to be nuts. Coming up, if the draft starts with the second pick, did the team that has it send an unusual signal yesterday? You'll see it and make up your own mind. Plus, McShay has Fields going to New England. Why this pick might be the most important of the entire Belichick era. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and as we were discussing just a few moments ago, the New York Jets taking Zach Wilson with the number 2 pick in the upcoming draft has seemed to be the consensus among all of our experts. But what would that mean for Sam Darnold? Well, did you see what happened yesterday? I'll show you. Adam Schefter tweeted this, and it was just very simply a screenshot of the New York Jets. The ticket icon on the Jets website has a picture of Sam Darnold. And Schefter tweeted, does the Jets ticket department know something that others don't? It does leave one scratching one's head just a little bit, considering everyone seems to think Sam Darnold is about to get traded out of town. Dan Graziano, what should we make of this?
Well, Schefter was having an uncharacteristically silly day on Twitter yesterday, but it was April Fool's Day. So,
yes.
Look, I mean, Darnold is, you know, Darnold is not necessarily going to get traded, right? Like, even if they draft Zach Wilson, the Jets want it to be known, whether it's true or not, they would like it to be known that they don't have to give Sam Darnold away for nothing. The offers haven't been what they hoped they would be. And look, if Sam Darnold stays and then leaves as a free agent next year, you're going to get a third-round compensatory pick for him in 2023. So if you can't give me more than a third-rounder, right now I don't have much incentive to trade him. The Jets don't need picks. They have 9 picks this year. They have 10 picks next year. So it's not as if a 2023 compensatory third-rounder is necessarily the worst thing in the world. So The Jets could well, even if they draft Zach Wilson as we expect, hold on to Darnold and see if situations around the league change to maybe where they can get more for him in return in the summer or the fall.
That is fair. It does speak volumes that their season ticket enticement is to come see our backup quarterback, but let's put that aside for the moment. Bart Scott, you're very close to the entire situation there. What? You saw the kerfuffle that was made out of this yesterday. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, listen, I think it's a struggle going on within the building. I believe that some people want Zach Wilson and some people want Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold is, 23 years old. He has an opportunity for the first time to have a good football coach, a good environment around him. Management seems to have their head on straight. They're building this team slowly, and he's 23 years old. I don't want to hear about everybody talking about, well, if they have to pick up his option. Well, that is a discounting in comparison to what most teams are having to pay for a star quarterback. I think he's a talented player. I think they should stick with Sam Darnold and get enough pieces around to entice anybody. Because if you move down and you get all these picks, you can build a great roster around somebody, and then maybe you are more attractive to a Russell Wilson next year. Maybe you are more attractive to a Deshaun Watson. Or maybe, just maybe, Sam Darnold can play and make you look good, and now you have a team around him that you continue to build around, and he's only 23 years old. I don't understand why everybody wants the new car. Guess what? Zach Wilson was Sam Darnold was the shiny new toy 3 years ago. And how did that work out? One thing we know about Sam Darnold is that he's built to be in this market. We don't know. Listen, New York is a totally different monster. You come out here, you're going to be criticized by 3-4 different shows a day, nationally and locally. We don't know if Zach Wilson's built like that. We know that Sam Darnold has big shoulders. It can't get any worse for Sam Darnold.
That's right. Not everyone can stand up to being obliterated on Bart and Han every single day, and you know it better than anybody, Bart. Let me come to Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday, what do you think?
I agree with Bart, man. Somebody's talking some common sense here, right? Like I think if you bring Zach Wilson in, how much difference does that make at this moment? Not a lot, right? This team's got a lot of holes to fill. They have a lot of opportunities they can take with the draft picks they can get from trading out of that second spot. And listen, to Bart's point, we don't know if Darnold can play. Development matters in the NFL. He has not had the opportunity. He's 23 years old. Get pieces and parts around him. If you see he can't play, guess what? There'll be some great quarterbacks in next year's draft. There'll be some great free agents in the quarterback at the quarterback position. There's all kind of opportunities, folks. Don't jump at the first thing. Build your team from inside out, and whoever the quarterback is in the future will have a much better chance to win and be successful.
Correct. So we are all united on the side that they are not going to choose. All right, take a break here, guys. Sit with me a minute because I got to get to the baseball highlights. We had opening day yesterday, and the game of the day was a wild one at Coors Field. Dodgers, Rockies, look at this. Top of three, no score. Cody Bellinger at the plate. A runner is on. That one is deep. It might be. It could be. It is. Sort of. Rynell Tapia gets a piece of it. But it goes over the wall. He can't hold on. Now, Bellinger starts running but slows down. He's signaling for a home run. After some confusion, the home run is going to be ruled an RBI single, and here's why. Because Justin Turner thought Tapia caught the ball. So he's going back. They wind up crossing. Bellinger passed him on the bases. It's now an RBI single instead of a two-run homer. Holy smoke. Now, bottom of six. Dodgers down 5-4. Clayton Kershaw in trouble. Tapia to the plate. Tapia sends one through to left. Chris Owings comes around to score. Rockies a 6-4 lead. Kershaw gave up 10 hits, 5 runs, 2 strikeouts. His day is done. Top of 9. Dodgers down 8-5. 2 outs and the base is loaded for Mookie Betts. What an opportunity. Can he come through? No, he can't. Here's your ball game. Rockies hold on to win it by a score of 8-5. And our own Jessica Mendoza was on the call for that game yesterday and joins us, getting up with us early this morning. Jess, what was your number one takeaway from a wild one yesterday at Coors Field?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I just think the fact that even the defending champs, you go into Coors Field and you just don't know what you're going to get. I have never done a game that crazy. I know you showed the Cody Bellinger highlight, but even watching this Dodgers team and the ball kept carrying Mookie Betts on this example, I mean, this is a ball he would normally catch, but in Coors, as we know, it just keeps on going. Clayton Kershaw, for everything that he is and the buildup coming in, the Colorado Rockies, give them credit. I mean, they got on the board on a squeeze bunt. Who who squeezes bunts anymore? I mean, that's exactly how the Rockies scored. All those 10 hits were singles. I mean, you saw just like little slap it through the infield to score. And then, of course, Cody passing Justin Turner was almost like, what is happening? It was such a great opening day, though.
And so the Rockies get that win there. Let me take you to another one yesterday. Yankees and Blue Jays on a chilly day. The opener at Yankee Stadium. And here's the highlights from this one. Bottom of two, one on for Gary Sanchez. And Gary Sanchez has left the ballpark. Sanchez, the first Yankee catcher to homer on opening day in 11 years. Yanks have a 2-1 lead. Gerrit Cole now doing the pitching. And not well. Teoscar Hernandez. Oh, no doubt about that. Drills one to left in the sixth that ties the game at two, and Gerrit Cole, not pleased. Bottom of nine. Same score, winning run at second. Aaron Judge at the plate. Can he be the hero on opening day? That's the question, and the answer is no. Judge, 1-for-5, struck out twice. We're going to extras. Top of the 10th. A runner's at second. Randall Grichuk. Boom, right field, Aaron Judge, can he get it? No, he can't. 65% was the hit probability on this. It's an RBI double. The run comes around to score, and that would be the difference. Blue Jays win it 3-2 in extras on opening day. And so, back to you, Jessica Mendoza. What's your number one takeaway from the ballgame yesterday in the Bronx?
Gary Sanchez. I mean, you got to remember, a lot of people weren't watching last year. Gary Sanchez, I mean, you didn't think he was even going to start or be in this lineup for the Yankees because how bad, how awful he was offensively last year. He had 147, 64 strikeouts to 18 walks. His biggest thing coming in was to be able to sit back, get behind the baseball. That home run, you could just feel the pressure come off of him. Why? Because there's so many other guys in this lineup that when they struggle, it's up to Gary Sanchez. I mean, he is the difference maker to me because you know when it comes down to Aaron Judge, who also struggled in this game, Giancarlo Stanton, both of those guys are prone to injuries. They are not going to be in this lineup throughout the entire season. And so the big piece that's missing, because by the way, it is World Series or bust for this Yankees team. Mm-hmm. Gary Sanchez has to step up. I know it's only one game, but that home run was huge.
It was the only offense the Yankees managed on the day. Jess, stay close. We'll have much more from you as we continue get up here this morning. Back to the football we will go next as well. Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick missed the playoffs. Now Robert Kraft has spoken, and you got to hear what he said. It's next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and let's play a game. Who should be the starter? Dan Graziano, I'm starting with you. Who should be the starter in San Francisco this year?
Yeah, I think Jimmy Garoppolo to start the season, right? I mean, they're going to take a quarterback at number three, and they feel like he's going to need some time to develop. It makes sense that they would stick with Jimmy G until they think that new guy is ready. They know they can win games with him as long as he's healthy, and obviously that's a big if. But I think that's the way for the San Francisco 49ers to start this season.
Bart Scott, I'm coming to you. Who should be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets in 2021?
Really, Greeny, you know this is Sam Darnold. Listen, Sam Darnold, it takes a whole lot to wash that stench of Adam Gase off. Listen, I am an expert in horrible quarterbacks. I know one when I see one, and Sam Darnold is not a horrible quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback. I've been around enough bums to know who's a good quarterback. He just needs some protection and opportunity to learn and grow underneath a great offensive-minded coach.
I love it. Jeff Saturday, how about New England? Who should be their starting quarterback?
It's going to be Cam Newton. And you know why? because Justin Fields ain't falling to him, Greeny. All this talk everybody's giving, all these smoke screens, it's going to be Cam Newton because the Patriots ain't trading up to get Justin Fields. I love the mock drafts. I love what everybody's saying. Fields is too good of a player to go that far down. Cam Newton's going to be there for another year. Josh McDaniels and he are going to try to get this thing on the same page.
Well, you're talking about the mock draft. Here it was. McShay has the Patriots moving up to 11 to take Justin Fields. Meanwhile, this week, Robert Kraft, the owner, had a lot to say about the Patriots' recent draft history and their quarterback situation. Take a listen.
You have to do it through the draft. I don't feel we've done the greatest job the last few years. And in fairness to Cam, I'm not sure he had the proper weapons around him. I don't know that Jared has ever really gotten a fair shot. So this isn't something where you get algebraic formulas. Think of all the personnel whizzes who passed for six rounds on Tom Brady. One way or another, we have to get that position solidified.
But wasn't that fascinating? Jeff Saturday, what is your reaction?
Listen, I like Robert Kraft, Greeny, but my man is high. I mean, like, listen, let's get real and honest. Since 2011, they've went to five Super Bowls, three conference championships that they lost. Are you kidding me? Like, do we care about winning the draft or do we care about winning games and Super Bowls? Because if you care about winning the draft and how everybody grades you and all these analysts who come out here go, oh, man, give them an A+, B-, whatever that nonsense is, Bill Belichick cares about winning Super Bowls. And guess what? He has. If you look at last year, it's an anomaly. Half his defensive leaders opted out because of COVID, man. Like, you lost Tom Brady to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You came in with Cam Newton. He got COVID midway through the season. There was no rhythm. And now you're going to criticize it? Like, what are you kidding me right now? You're criticizing the greatest run in NFL history because of the draft. I can't stand how much attention the draft gets, right? There are no winners and losers in the draft, folks. There's winning on the field on Sundays and Super Bowls. Robert Kraft has had the best of that, and now he's complaining? Totally disagree with what Kraft is saying on this.
Okay, I'm all in. Bart Scott, what do you think?
Man.
Jeff Saturday, spoken like a man that played with arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and then went and played with A-Ron. Listen, you have no idea how lonely and how hard it is to win without a franchise quarterback. Now, listen, you talk about
That's
taking
right.
Tom Brady in the sixth round. Well, they lucked up on that because they wouldn't have passed up on him
yep.
five times if they thought they were so great as far as experts. He has done a horrible job, and now it's going to be lonely. Life after Jim Kelly. Life after Dan Marino. Listen, this goes out to that 12-year-old kid that I was trash-talking when the Patriots won the Super Bowl against the Falcons. Ha, ha, ha. Enjoy it now because when number 12 leaves, you're going to be come back with the mere mortals, and now you're going to have to build a team, not just have a guy that you can that can be arguably the greatest quarterback to ever lace them up to bail you out of your bad mistakes. And Bill Belichick has made a number of bad mistakes. We always talk about all the draft picks, how crafty he is moving back. He hasn't drafted a great superstar in a long time. Sony Michelle was great. You think about Isaiah Wynn. Name me somebody else that he's drafted that has turned out to be great. He's had all this draft equity. He has failed miserably. And when I came on this show a couple of months ago and I said that Bill Belichick, the general manager, should be fired, they need a better talent evaluator because now they're going to have a full team. They're not going to have number 12 to bail them out because he's going to take less money. They got to learn how to build. And then they'll go out and get a quarterback, but who knows if he's going to be a bum or not. Like I said, I played with the Cleo Lemons, I played with the Kyle Bowlers, the Troy Smiths. Welcome to that side, New England. That's where you're at right now.
Wow. Okay. So I can't believe I'm saying this, but both can be right. You can both be right. Bill Belichick can be the greatest coach of all time and also have done a very bad job of putting together talent for his roster over the last 6 or 7 years and been helped out a lot by having the great quarterback. So maybe they're both right. Dan Graziano, what do you make of all this?
Well, I kind of think they're both a little bit wrong because I think they're kind of on the extreme ends of this, right? Because, like, I mean, Jeff Saturday, you can say that they had the great run and they've had the great run and all this, and you can also say that the roster the last couple years has not been what it should be, what it's been expected to be because they didn't do as well in the draft as they may have done earlier in Belichick's tenure. And in terms of Bart Scott, I mean, look, they just went 7-9. They didn't go 1-15. I mean, everybody, all those opt-outs are coming back. If they find a quarterback who can play, if that ends up being Cam Newton, I don't see any reason to think it's going to be an embarrassingly bad team. The fact of the matter is they went out and signed a ton of free agents because they knew they had a bunch of holes on the roster. Right. That's indisputable. No matter how many Super Bowls that they've won, the last couple of years it hasn't worked out in terms of the draft and building the roster. But I don't think the situation is as dire as would lead someone to trash talk a 12-year-old kid about the state of the New England Patriots.
Bart Scott will trash talk anybody, but that's neither here nor
hard.
There.
Life's hard. Fair.
I want to ask Jeff a question. Pardon me. Because we use the term hot seat in one way. We basically say, is there pressure on a coach? We usually only interpret that to mean, is he in danger of getting fired? Well, throw that. Bill Belichick isn't getting fired, no matter what happens. But is there, Jeff, pressure on Bill Belichick based on the fact that Brady went down there to Tampa and won the Super Bowl, and people are now looking at it and wondering, as Bart is, well, maybe this really was disproportionately Brady's greatness all along. Does it create an additional level of pressure on Belichick to succeed without him? Jeff, is that fair or not fair?
No, it's unfair. Listen, if you look at Bill Belichick and what he did for that entire football team, I love Tom Brady. I played against defenses that Belichick built that have Hall of Famers all around it, and they're starting to get in there. He understands how to run an entire football team. It's not just one guy. I understand how important it is to have a guy like Tom Brady, but at the end of the day, Bill Belichick's only pressure is internal. It's what he wants to do. Guaranteed, this guy's sitting back. He wants to get back to where he was. He understands Tom Brady left. He understands the conversation's happening. He understands where he sits. But as far as getting fired or getting questioned about what Tom Brady was in the program or in the organization and wasn't, Bill Belichick is completely comfortable in what he's done. You don't have that type of consistency just because of one player. It helps. It is not the end-all, be-all.
Yes, you do.
Because I played with two that don't have nearly as many Super Bowl rings, so you can't just attribute it to one guy.
Go ahead, Bart.
Yes, you can. Look how many holes that Peyton Manning filled for you guys. You guys were not a great roster. You guys had some good players, but you guys weren't loaded with a bunch of talent. You guys had a guy who can overcome the X's and O's, a guy that was the smartest man that I've ever played against, and he can always get his team in the best possible position. And that's what Tom Brady was. Tom Brady was a guy that not only took less money, you see what he's doing down in Tampa. He's building a culture, right? He's building a culture, much like Amendola said. Right? He is the Patriot way because he's humble, because he takes less money, because he shares the pie. You know, when you have a guy like that, he sets the table for you and he gets you out of bad mistakes. And right now you look at what, you know, Bill is trying to do. He's trying to buy himself out of the bad mistakes that he's made. But the problem is he don't have the guy behind center that's going to affect the game every single time the ball is snapped. And now he has to figure out a way how to get a bunch of stars to try and dig him out of the problems because he don't have a guy that can call that has the answers to the test.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Bart, here's my argument with that. I completely understand what Tom Brady is, but to get six rings, you think about Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, right? What they have three combined. These guys, listen, these guys are as smart as Tom Brady. They've done the same thing as Tom Brady. It's because of the culture and the team as well. You can't tell me Peyton Manning didn't build a culture in Indy and in Denver. That doesn't just make Super Bowls happen. It's in combination, man. Do not discredit what Bill Belichick did. And let me tell you something, man. Defenses help win championships. You know what that looks like. Brady's got nothing to do with their defense, man. I don't care what they say. Listen, Tom Brady's an excellent Hall of Famer, all the things people say about him. But don't discredit Bill Belichick, and dang sure don't discredit him about the draft when he keeps putting freaking rings on people's hands, man. Like, at the end of the day, it takes everybody involved in the organization. Don't just take it and throw that out. That's just disrespectful to one of the greatest who's ever done it.
I have to leave it here for the moment. I have to go to. I'm so sorry.
Look at Greg Popovich. He'll never win with the Spurs again either.
I hope everyone is enjoying watching today's show as much as I am, because it's awesome. Let me take a very brief break. I'm coming back with much more of these guys as we go. By the way, Sunday's lineup is awesome, too. Another NBA battle between the L.A. finest, Lakers and Clippers, 3:30 Eastern on ABC. On ESPN, the NCAA Women's National Championship game is at 6 Eastern. And our Sunday night baseball matchup is the White Sox and the Angels. Now, that is an awesome lineup, and it's coming your way on Sunday. Meanwhile, coming up here, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers brass might not be the best of friends right now. Jeff Saturday is laying the blame squarely on one side, and you'll find out which side next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, coming off a very busy week in football. Dan Graziano, take us through 3 important things that happened this week.
Well, Greeny, the most important thing, the NFL added a game to its regular season schedule for this year. They're going to be 17-game seasons instead of 16, as it's been since 1978. So this is going to be something that people realize, I think, come September, October, because it's been talked about so long, it was sort of accepted. But a pretty significant change in the way the NFL operates going to a 17-game season. I would say that has to be the most significant thing that happened this week. Now, when you look at on the team level, Tyler Lockett's extension with the Seattle Seahawks, I think, is significant, because so much of the conversation this offseason has been about the Seahawks' ability to keep their quarterback, Russell Wilson, happy. And Russell Wilson loves Tyler Lockett. They have incredible quarterback wide receiver chemistry, a message being sent to Russell Wilson, hey, we're rewarding Lockett for his performance and we're keeping him here for a while. That makes a difference in a relationship like that in Seattle. And in Green Bay, a little bit different story, as team president Mark Murphy declined to answer direct questions this week from our man Rob Domofsky about the status of Aaron Rodgers' contract, which, as we have discussed, the Packers have not restructured to create cap room the way they have done with other players. And by not restructuring that contract, the Packers are leaving themselves open to the possibility, contractually, that they could move on from Aaron Rodgers after this season if last year's first-round pick, Jordan Love, shows enough to them to indicate that he might be ready to go. So an ongoing story here that the Packers decided not to put to rest this week.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fascinating one. And again, it takes 2 to tango on that one, right, Dan? So, I mean, we don't know exactly how much of that was the Packers not doing it, the Rodgers not doing it. What do we know?
Well, it doesn't take 2 to tango. They could restructure the deal, just convert salary to signing bonus and save cap space if they wanted to. They don't need his permission for that. Now, if they want to extend it or guarantee him some more money, that would be a negotiation. But they could do the restructure and save the cap space if they wanted to. They have chosen not to.
That's fair. But what that wouldn't do is extend the commitment to him one way or the other. And that's the part of this that I think is really worth diving into. And, Jeff, I've not heard your perspective on this. I haven't had you on in a couple of weeks. Your perspective on the game they're playing, this little dance they're doing in Green Bay right now between Rodgers and the Packers. Which side are you on?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Listen, the organization, the Green Bay Packers organization, continues to do this to themselves. They keep bringing negativity towards the MVP of the NFL. And for what? Dan just made a great point. If they wanted to restructure and just convert salary, they could definitely do that. This is an extension issue, right? Is they don't believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to be their guy, but they're sending the message through the media and not directly through the player. This is why the whole we're going to draft Jordan Love in the first round, we're going to let this thing be, and it's going to look this certain way is such garbage. Hey, this is not the same as Brett Favre and when Aaron Rodgers came in. Brett Favre was a gunslinger. He threw a lot of balls that were 50-50 balls. There were a bunch of turnovers. Aaron Rodgers has not shown any of that. There's no reason to progress away from Aaron Rodgers. You extend him, give yourself the best chance to go back to Super Bowls. You've been to two back-to-back conference championships. You hadn't gotten it done. It's not going to happen with Jordan Love. Listen, there's no criticism on Jordan Love because I hadn't seen him play. And he's not going to play as long as Aaron Rodgers is suiting up in a Green Bay Packer uniform.
Another one just quickly on that. Favre at that time was talking about retirement. He talked about it all of the time.
That's right.
We've never heard that from Rodgers. So another reason why it might have made more sense then to be looking for his heir apparent. Bart Scott, what do you think?
I mean, it's a circle of life, right? When you think about the NFL, we all know when you get closer to the end, the organization has an obligation to build for the future while still trying to win in the present. But what they didn't anticipate that Aaron Rodgers would have the season that he had without the weapons. They didn't go out and get him weapons. And it has to be tremendously tough for Matt LaFleur to have to deal with the elephant in the room, knowing that his quarterback is almost his age, his football acumen is high, and he can't just tell him what to do, right? Because he understands that Aaron Rodgers isn't his quarterback of the future, so he thought he can go out and get their quarterback of the future while still trying to win in the present. What happens is they don't realize, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't a typical 38-year-old quarterback. He didn't play his first 3 years.
That's
he don't
right.
have the same mileage on him as some 38-year-old quarterbacks. So what happens is now they're stuck, right? Because now you're trying to tell your owner that, hey, we have a young quarterback for the future, but then our quarterback of the present is going to outlast him, much like Jimmy G did, you know, what happened with Jimmy G and Tom Brady in New England. But the problem is that now they can't, you know, get rid of Jordan Love because nobody's seen him play. So he has no value. So you have to tell your owners that we wasted a first round pick. And instead of just admitting that Aaron Rodgers should be the quarterback for the next 5 years, they want to double down. That's what people do. They don't admit their mistakes, and they should just admit their mistakes and find the best home for Jordan Love because A.A. Ryan is good for another 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, so we'll see if that's the way it goes or if he decides he's going to pull a Brady and find himself another home next year. That's that situation. Ooh. Now to another quarterback situation, and that's the one in Philly. After starting 4 games as a rookie, Jalen Hurts is QB1 in Philadelphia, and his old coach from Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, was on KJZ yesterday talking about it. Here's what he said.
You know, he's a guy that believes he's ready for this. I mean, no question about it. I mean, he believes that this is a tremendous opportunity. And when you're the quarterback, there's a difference between kind of hoping you're going to be the guy and then knowing and feeling you're the guy. And that like, added confidence that brings along to me can be a game changer. And I think it'll be a big deal for Jalen.
So, Bart, the question is this. Is Jalen Hurts the quarterback for the long haul in Philadelphia? It's looking at the crystal ball. What do you think?
He only has one shot at it, and this is a problem. It's hard to be on the back end of a dynasty. This team went all in. They made more transactions than anybody in football to bring in a lot of talent, and now they have to pay the piper, right? Because now, you know, that roster is older, and their stars are transitioning out, and now he's going to have – now Jalen Hurts is going to have to come in after a team has been tremendously successful and try and win with a not great roster. That's why they made that trade, to try and get picks to try and fill the hole. But in the city of brotherly love, it ain't much love, brother, and you're going to have to perform this year, and it ain't going to be fair, but this is the only shot you're going to get.
That's probably right. I feel like the fans will be on his side, though, after what he did last year and the way everything broke down around him. What do you think, Jeff?
I love this opportunity. Look, this is a show-me opportunity. And the interesting thing is, this reminds me of my career, and I'm sure, Bart, it reminds of his career, right? We all had one shot. And if you don't get it done, somebody's coming to replace you. Guess what? It's true for Jalen Hurts at the quarterback position. I know it's a rarity, but if you're a player, this is what you want. You want the opportunity to go show everybody how good you can be. And you may only get one shot, but take it like you get it. You know what I mean? He can handle his business. I'm excited for Jalen Hurts. I agree with Lincoln Riley. This is what players look for and hope for and dream for. Now he has the opportunity to make the most of it.
Yeah, and look, we'll see. They traded back. I think a lot of people.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bart, real quick. 10 seconds. Go.
No, undrafted free agents always have one foot out the door and one on the banana peel. He's not that, but he is that for the quarterback equivalent. Second-round draft pick, they didn't invest a lot in him, so it's easy for them to move off. You know, the head coach didn't draft him as well, so he's going to get one shot. The problem is he has the worst talent in the division.
He does at this point. Again, let's see what they do. They've got some draft picks to work with. Meanwhile, let me run the floor here through some of the NBA action from last night. It begins with LaMarcus Aldridge making his Nets debut in the starting lineup without KD, James Harden, Blake Griffin. Aldridge put up 11 and 9 rebounds. Nets beat the Hornets 111 to 89. Elsewhere, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets rolling past the Clippers on last night. Jokic only needed 14 points. The rest of the Nuggets starting lineup combined for 76, and Denver got the win. And then there was Steph Curry. He put up 36 last night, but it wasn't enough as the Warriors lost to the Heat. Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson combined for 63 to lead the way. The Heat take it 116 to 109. And a reminder, once again, we have the NCAA Women's Final Four on ESPN tonight. South Carolina taking on Stanford in the first game, 6 Eastern, then Arizona and UConn in the nightcap at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. It's tonight, and you can watch it on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, if you think Zach Wilson is a lock to go number two, another BYU legend says, not so fast. Wait until you hear this.